Today on Pilgrim Radio's His People, Tammy Claughton with practical suggestions on reaching out to our neighbors.
And so I'm going to challenge every single one of us, myself included. How are you loving your neighbor in a practical way this week? What is one thing that you could do for a neighbor, for three neighbors, that show them love? Not so they will come to your church, but just show them love and let God draw them because of your love for Him.
Tammy Claughton, next. As you'll hear her explain, Tammy Claughton wants to bring back the sense of community that used to happen around porches. This is so critical today as it seems more people than ever are feeling socially isolated. Here is interviewer Sunny Kane.
Hi, Tammy. Welcome to His People. I'm really excited about today's conversation, really addressing the topic of the loneliness epidemic that we're living in. But before we dive in, tell our listeners, who are you? What do you do? Maybe what you're passionate about.
Oh, my name is Tammy Claughton, and I am the founder of the Porch Movement. And I am passionate about people not feeling left out, people not feeling lonely, and people feeling connected with one another. So they have a great support system. You know, I'm super passionate about connecting people.
And I know that that has been your passion for some time. I know for you spent a lot of years serving in vocational ministry prior to this porch movement that we're going to dive in talking about today.
Yes, so true. Yep.
So tell us, what is the Porch Movement?
So the Porch Movement is a community nonprofit. And it was started to address the loneliness epidemic. And a lot of people think that that was happening just because of the pandemic. And it was actually happening a long time before, and the pandemic highlighted it. And I have always cared about mental health and all of that kind of stuff. Growing up in a family where there was mental health difficulties that weren't always addressed or not addressed well, especially by the church. And so I have been passionate about this for a long time and just trying to break the stigma around it. And so when I started seeing the stats around the loneliness epidemic, I thought, I can't just sit by and go, oh, that's too bad. I really felt like I needed to do something about it. And so, you know, I was like, God, what can I do about this? And this idea of the Porch Movement came to my mind. And I thought about the whole, you know, neighborhoods, how they used to be connected. And when I was younger, they were truly connected. We would hang out in each other's front yards and at each other's porch and everything. And so I just kind of wanted to bring that back, that porch-like environment back, where we could hang out and be casual and talk about life and check in on each other and bring each other meals and all of those kinds of things. And it just fits with who I'm wired to be, just care and compassion and all of those kinds of things. And I just couldn't sit on the sidelines anymore.
So in there, you mentioned that it was really as you were learning about the loneliness epidemic, it spurred you into action.
Yes.
Can you tell our listeners, like, what is the loneliness epidemic? What were some of those stats that moved you into action?
Yeah. So people are often surprised because they think, when they think of loneliness, they think of the elderly or older generation. And that is the very first generation that they think of. But I was shocked to find out who is actually the loneliest generation. Do you have an idea of who that is?
No, I mean, I know we live in this crazy, you know, we appear to be very plugged in this world. But so I can imagine that spans all age groups, really.
Yeah. So the loneliest generation is considered Gen Z, which Gen Z is from 12 to 27. 67 to 74% of them say they're lonely sometimes to always, that they feel disconnected, don't have meaningful friend groups. They don't have enough close friends or family around them, even though they're the most electronically connected that we've ever been. yet they're the loneliest.
So in that study, were there any factors on what is causing Gen Z to feel so lonely?
Yeah, some of the things that they stated were obviously social media. Everyone points to social media right away. And there's truth in that, but there's also some benefit to that as well. So I don't want to dog on social media, but that is a key factor. But the other thing that they said was that they've had a lot of trauma. And, everybody's kind of now going, oh, we're talking about trauma again, right? But they listed some of the things and I was like, oh my. So they have been through 9/11. They have been through the 2008 financial crisis. They have heard and seen and experienced school shootings or mass shootings. And they have been through the pandemic as well. In their young lives, all of those things. We've been right alongside with them. So we have all experienced those things. And that is causing all of us to withdraw and be more fearful and isolate. And even when we think about reaching out to our neighbors, there's a lot of fear, because we're like, we don't know how they're going to treat us or what they're going to do, cancel us and all of those kinds of things. So there's that as well. And then the rise of the digital world. So it is more, you stay home and you're just online. You're not getting out in the fresh air. You're not getting out, connecting with each other socially the way that we used to. And so we're losing some of even those friendship skills, just how to build friendships and how to be with other people and not feel awkward and all of those kinds of things. And then there is a lot more single parent households. And so that has contributed. That's one of the cool things about the whole porch movement. It's like, let's bring back that neighborhood bonding and build that strong, safe, connected neighborhood. So even if you are a single parent, there's neighbors that can help pour into your kids' lives in a positive way. And then the other one is, yeah, just that their formative years are being shaped in a digital world rather than, in that face-to-face, shake each other's hands, look each other in the eye kind of thing that helps you to feel connected and seen.
Yeah, I mean, you think this generation is learning how to build relationships via text.
Right.
Over being in person with people. And yes, I heard everything you just said for Gen Z. And I go, wow, that's no wonder for all of us, right. Like what has sparked right. this loneliness epidemic. And I think you're right. I think many of us have this belief that the loneliness epidemic was just something that arrived on the scene because of COVID. But it's been building for some time now. And, knowing that it's taken some time to get here, it's going to take some time to get back out. But we've got to get intentional with that. So you were discussing the stats that moved you into action, one being Gen Z. What else?
And then the other one that was really surprising to me was it's actually the second group is men from 50 to 70. And the suicide rate in that age group is really high. And I have actually lost a couple of friends in that age group, in that demographic, to suicide. And so that was another thing that prompted me to try to address this.
And that's where when you were talking at the beginning, that passion that you have, not only for the mental health issues, but this, I see the tie that you're talking about into this loneliness epidemic that, right. that you feel called to do something about.
Yes, yes. And another stat is there's a Harvard survey that went out in October of 2024. So it's pretty recent. And the responders said that 73% of them said that the cause of this, they feel like, is technology. 73%, that's a lot.
Yeah.
And then the next right after that was because there's not enough time spent with families. And families are spread out all across the United States and even the world now. And so it's hard to have that feeling of, I have family. And there's this stat, this crazy stat that's out there, but it's loneliness is like smoking 15 cigarettes a day, the health effects on your body.
Wow.
And so because we get in our own heads and it does all kinds of things and causing stress on our hearts, on our brains, on our, you know, it's dementia and all of those kinds of things are setting in because people are isolated, disconnected, and not connecting with other people. And yet there's a stigma around it. And this many people feeling it, and yet we don't want to talk about it. Mm. And so I'm like, let's start talking about it so we can address it.
And what do you feel is the stigma that is attached to loneliness?
Well, I'll quote one of the teenagers that we work with. And they said, people think you're a loser if you're lonely.
Ugh.
They just have that concept. You don't say that you're lonely because who wants to be a friend with somebody who's lonely and needy? And so they perceive it as being needy and all of that kind of thing, even though we all experience it at different times in our lives. And one of the things that we like to say is loneliness is being alone and not liking it. That's how you can identify, because it's okay to draw away from the crowd and everything and recharge. That's not necessarily loneliness. Loneliness is when you are doing that and you don't like it. You even hate it.
I hear that that's kind of maybe how we identify it in ourselves is I'm alone and I don't like it. Is there a way that we can identify loneliness in other people?
We have this idea and this picture in our head of what lonely looks like. Or what lonely is. And I know a lot of professionals who have very high paying jobs or they're in very social settings that feel very lonely. They feel disconnected. So instead of lonely, if you can think of disconnected or isolated or not feeling seen or heard, being talked over and all of those kinds of things, passed over. And all of that, lonely people come in all shapes and sizes and, you know, financial status and everything. It's not just somebody curled up on their couch, you know, kind of thing.
And that's where you talk about that stigma attached, right? It's even, it's like a stereotype of a picture we have in our mind of the lonely people.
Right.
And it's why we resist wanting to be labeled as the lonely ones, even though we may deep inside know, oh, I'm actually one of the lonely ones. If someone listening today is there, what would you say to that person?
First of all, I move with compassion when you even say that. And I'm sorry you're feeling lonely. I can relate to this because I was working in a very busy environment and I came home to work and start this movement. And I have experienced some of that myself. And sometimes it is super hard to reach out. So I would say one of the ways that you could start is even just going to a coffee shop and being there and being around other people. So take your work to a coffee shop or something and sit there and just feel the presence of other people because there's power in that. And start there. And say hello to the person who's serving you and all of that, because just connecting with somebody for 8 minutes a day can increase your health.
Wow. And so that's such a small number.
8 minutes.
Eight minutes.
Yep. And so if you don't have someone physically that you can be with, then call someone. Face-to-face is always the best as far as your overall health, because we feed off of each other's energy and we see things in conversation and everything that we wouldn't see over text or a phone call. So I would say face-to-face first. And what about that friend that you haven't reached out to in a little while, that you think they care about you, but you're not quite sure, but you just reach out and say, hey, you want to have coffee? Be brave. It does take that energy. I get it. But go ahead and do it. And you might be surprised at how they've been missing you as well.
Right.
But people are often waiting to be invited. And somebody has to go first. And then the next thing was have somebody that you can call once a week. And that will help. 8 minutes once a week.
even in taking that step, I can feel the nerves, you know, just in the way that we're wired right now, yeah. always on our phones, always on the go. Yep. And like you said, it's spanning the generations. I can see this in my daughter's generation.
Yes.
And in the creating of community, of reaching out to somebody, I can feel the fear associated with that and all yes. the stories that come into our minds about what that person may or may do or the rejection that we may experience. And I think that that fear of rejection in the reach out
for sure.
may be keeping people. So what do you say to the person that is so afraid of rejection that they're having a hard time buying into reaching out to somebody? What would you say to them?
Right. Do they have one person that they can trust to say that out loud to? Because I think sometimes acknowledging that kind of breaks some of that power. But the other thing is, if they can't say that out loud, go be around somebody, join a class, join something that you don't have to talk, but you can do an activity together. I don't care if it's a hiking group or something that's just, you can be around other people. You can hide in the crowd, but be around people, because that begins to help. And somebody in that crowd is going to say, hey, I'm curious about you. And then you don't have to do all the hard work of starting it, right? You were talking, Sunny, and I thought, I want to talk to the person who maybe it's not just lonely, but maybe you're beyond lonely and you are actually suicidal because you're feeling so isolated, like no one on this planet cares. There are text lines that you can call. There are, text 988, and that is a suicide hotline. You are not alone, even though you feel like it and you believe it in this moment. There are people who care. And I don't want to miss this opportunity just to say, we see you. We care about that. And there is that step as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'm glad you addressed that, because loneliness is one of those topics that, and I would say as Christians, this is also a place that I think we do great spiritual warfare, because if we are cut off from the body of Christ and we are cut Yes. off from human beings, then we get into our minds. And when we get into our minds, sometimes that's a place we don't want to be left alone. And so just this invitation that you are giving us to build community in the simple way of getting reconnected in porch-like environments. So, but what is a porch-like environment?
Yeah.
And how can people step into creating those?
Yeah. So just our mission is, we're addressing the loneliness epidemic by creating porch-like environments, right? And so that porch-like environment is, and it can happen anywhere. It can happen on your front porch. It could happen in your living room. It could happen at a park. It could happen at a coffee shop. But it's that feeling of, man, I can just come and be myself and just talk about things with ease. And you walk into that setting and you just like, I feel at home. I feel comfortable. Even though there's a little bit of nerves and everything. So we can create that for people, no matter what setting we're in. We can do it at work in the break room. And it's like, hey, I just want to know you. I want to be curious about you. I want to get to know you. And, it's not interrogation. It's that, hey, I'm curious. And keeping that attitude of curiosity and accepting people where they're at and not expecting them to look or be a certain way. But just honestly meeting them where they're at.
So let's say I'm a listener right now. Somebody out there is feeling compelled to, like you did, do something about this loneliness epidemic. What do you think is the very first thing that they could begin doing? Like, what would that look like? I mean, I hear you saying that we can create, these places where people can come in and be accepted. But what's like the first step that someone could take?
Okay, there's two different things. One is, number one, you can come and join the movement. And you can check that out on our website and see how to do that, theporchmovement.com. And we're here to support and cheer you on and all of that kind of thing and give you ideas and problem solve and all that kind of thing. But if you never reach out to us, the first thing you can do is reach out to one or two of your neighbors and just say, hey, you want to get together? I don't care what that looks like. It could be, we like to say the garage is the new porch, because some people just need to open up their garage. Guys, open up your garage, you know, and say, hey, come over, watch a game with me or whatever. And then ladies, like I reached out to three of my neighbors when I first started this, because I don't want to do anything, ask anyone else to do something I'm not willing to do. So I reached out to three of my neighbor ladies. The very first one I reached out to and said, hey, you want to come over for coffee? She said, yes. Just like that. She was hungry, excited. And I said, I'm thinking about asking these other two ladies. By the time I had gotten to the second neighbor, she had already asked them, asked her. And then the next one said, hey, I want to do that, but I have a really complicated schedule. So just keep asking. But they were all yeses. People are waiting to be invited. And the other thing that I started doing was, and we have 13 ladies that get together now in my on my block and in my immediate neighborhood. But I started sitting on my front porch in the afternoon. If you find some place that you can sit on a regular basis and just be there and say hello to people as they pass by. And if you don't want to do the initial ask, start waving at your neighbors. There is a study that says if you wave at least six of your neighbors a day, it improves your mental physical health.
That's insane.
And even with us, our spiritual health, because we start seeing people the way that God sees people, right?
And is that the waving, is that in the person that's doing the waving or the person that's being waved to?
I think it can help both, because you're acknowledging someone, but especially in you, if you're just wanting to increase your own health, start waving at your neighbors, six of them a day.
And it's, I can imagine that sometimes we don't even see our neighbors because we live in worlds now where porches are kind of like, they are a thing of the past. Yep. They got smaller and smaller. And so I love that you went to the garage and opening them up, because how often do we come home, pull right into our garage, close it from the inside, and we never put eyes on our neighbors. So the intentionality behind that, I love. And before we close today, when we were preparing for this interview, you mentioned that the porch movement has taken you into getting really involved in your community. And you have had a notice about community events, and specifically a notice that has left you with some heartbreak. Would you address that today?
Yes. Yeah, I've been doing a lot of public events and being present with a lot of people in the community and getting to know them. And one of the things that I've noticed repeatedly is, honestly, that the church is missing. And I find it ironic. I was in the church. I was so busy in the church that I wasn't seeing people outside. I kept inviting people to church, but I wasn't going and meeting them where they are and where they were actually living. And so as I've been doing that, because, you know, I've been called to this, I keep looking for all of the people from the church, and I kept expecting that I would see them. And I've seen like one or two here or there, but they're not present. And there's like thousands of people showing up to these things. And I've just been shocked by that. I have felt convicted because I did the very same thing. As a matter of fact, when I started meeting with my neighbors and they told me some of this stuff, I'm like, I have not been loving my neighbors well. I had no clue these things were going on with them. And they live, you know, 50 feet from me. And so I am part of that as well. And I'm not even showing up as the church, but I'm bringing Jesus with me, right? And so we have a huge opportunity to go and be present with people in the community. I don't care if you volunteer for an organization. I'm actually starting to volunteer for this horse program so that I can just be with the community in a different way, and not me leading or in charge, but just me following someone else's lead. And so there's all kinds of community organizations that are doing amazing work, beautiful work in the community, that you could go and you could be a part of, and you could be the hands and feet of Jesus.
So in closing here, if you were to just be able to say one thing or leave the listeners with one thing today, what would you say?
Okay, so I am super passionate about loving God with all that I am, just like scripture says. But there's a second part to that that says, love your neighbor as yourself. And I want to challenge each of us to love our neighbor. That doesn't mean so they will, or if they do, just how are we loving our neighbors practically? And so I'm going to challenge every single one of us, myself included. How are you loving your neighbor in a practical way this week? What is one thing that you could do for a neighbor, for three neighbors, that show them love? Not so they will come to your church, but just show them love and let God draw them because of your love for him.
It's a love with no strings attached. I hear you. That's right. I hear that challenge. And I feel it on a deep level because like you, I mean, I need to hear this. I need to get out there and love my neighbor. With that, thanks for being on with us today, Tammy.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
You've been listening to His People on Pilgrim Radio. Many thanks to our guest, Tammy Claughton, founder of The Porch Movement. Go to theporchmovement.com. Coming up on tomorrow's program, it's Nathaniel Jeanson searching for the fascinating history of North American Native people.
You have in North America, we know from archaeology, there's a Hopewell culture. They built earthen mounds. The epicenter is just north of me here in Ohio. And you can visit them. They're UNESCO sites. They fall right about the same time this genetic lineage comes in. And then there's the last migration is what gives rise to the Delaware. They came across the Bering Strait with their relatives like the Blackfeet, the Cheyenne, and others. They're part of what's known as the Algic language family. That migration from Central Asia about 900s AD. And so there's constant flux. It's a very dynamic history. Lots of connections to East and Northeast Asia.
That's tomorrow at the same time right here on His People. Thanks for listening.